BBC Radio Marshall with Paul Coyer here till 2 o'clock. And it's time for us to talk all things technology now with the gadget detective Fevzi Turkup. And I was just noticing from your Twitter feed this week, Fevzi, you're really into your retro technology, laser discs and Walkmans and calculator watches. God, what happened to calculator watches?
You can still buy them. Casio still make them, actually.
And do they really?
They're retro chic, and they're, you can still have them for about £20 or something. And you can even get the really cheap, you know, the ones made of resin that you know look like you buy in a petrol station or something, just that sort of black plastic.
Yeah.
But you can still get them. You can still get them. And eBay is a veritable source of these things. I have to try very hard not to buy that stuff. But, you know, the like old VHS records and stuff. Sometimes what I do is I buy two or three of exactly the same item and combine the parts to make one fully working example. Because some items, that, you know, if they're 40 years old, there aren't many working ones left. But with a bit of know-how and tenacity, you can actually get things working again and have unique examples. And I was in the, not recently, unfortunately, but I was in the Science Museum in London about 18 months ago. And it was amazing of how many of the gadgets I owned are now in the Science Museum. I kind of thought that eventually there'll just be a chair waiting for me for when I'm ready to, you know, stop doing this, and I'll just sit on the chair with a placard and it will just say Gadget Detective circa 20th century or something, you know?
Well preserved. I'm just looking at some of the technology. It brings back so many memories. But it's ironic, isn't it, that with technology and the race to find something new all the time, we end up throwing out so much, and then a few years later we're desperate to have it back. It's weird.
Yeah, and,
really,
but there
weird.
Are things, there are things that you can do to sort of retrofit your existing tech. So for example, a lot of people have got really good hi-fi systems, people that put together hi-fi systems in the 70s, 80s or the 90s, when, you know, certain people were interested in quality. And then when Apple invented the iPod, it stopped being about quality and it became about quantity. How many songs can you fit on something, you know, the size of a pack of playing cards? And, you know, MP3s were barely the quality of cassette tape sometimes, you know. So but what you can do, for example, is take your old hi-fi with your nice hi-fi amp and your nice, you know, speakers and all that, and just get a £20 Bluetooth adapter, plug it into the auxiliary inputs on the amplifier, and suddenly this sort of 30-year-old or 40-year-old bit of tech becomes Bluetooth enabled, and it still sounds great. And suddenly you can stream wirelessly from your smartphone or tablet, but it'll give your music a new lease of life because it's coming out something that was where sound quality was prioritized.
Yeah, it's a great idea, actually. What's not such a great idea at the moment, it strikes me, Fevzi, is the discussion over the NHS COVID app. And I was talking to a guest yesterday, and they were saying that friends of theirs were getting pinged every time they drove past the Royal Berkshire Hospital and told to isolate. I mean, it doesn't seem to be working heck of a
well. That's not right, because the criteria are quite strict already. The base criteria are that your phone has to be within 2 meters of someone else's phone for a minimum of 15 minutes in a day.
And, so something's not right. It's not working properly.
I'm not sure that...
As to whether that's true or not.
Well, because you're not told when you get pinged, you don't know why you're being pinged. It doesn't tell you because you were in touch with this person or this at this location. You just get pinged. And if you look at the, you know, 26 million apps, downloaded 26 million times, and you talk about 300,000 pings in a week, that's not... It's not a huge number. But, I mean, so the story here is that the government has told the people who are responsible for the app to adjust the criteria so that fewer people get pinged, which to me is, of course, you have to strike a correct balance. But I think, personally, I think we have a pretty good balance, you know. But to me, it's tantamount to... you know, when there's a wildfire jumping from building to building, and we think it's a terribly good idea to take the batteries out of our smoke alarm because then it won't disturb us. You know, it is like that. You know, that not getting pinged doesn't mean you haven't been in contact with somebody. And the reason why the number of pings is going up is because the infection rate is climbing almost vertically at the moment. It's quite frightening, and we can only imagine that as things get loosened further on the 19th, that, you know, I mean, it was interesting enough. I saw, you know, this alternative SAGE group of scientists that work independently of the government. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had a broadcast yesterday. I watched only the first 10 minutes, but in it they said, I hope I'm not misquoting this, but that when they looked at the breakdown by gender of the new infections, it was about, currently it's about 75% male, and it was the first time we'd seen that. And statistical analysis revealed that it was most likely because of the Euros, the football. The people that had gone to see football matches in close proximity without any social distancing and all the celebrations that went with that have already translated into nationally detectable changes in the not only the rate of infection, but who gets infected.
Well, something's gone wrong with the messaging then, Turkey, because if you can explain it like that, I'm going to come back to you and say, well, why are so many people deleting the app at the moment? Which they are, in the thousands.
Yeah, well, because, I don't want to be political about it, but I remember when we had a government that said it was following the science, and it was arguable whether or not they were. I don't think they're saying that anymore. And I think that there was about 1,000 scientists and doctors had put their name to a letter saying this is not wise. To me, it's interesting because, you know, there has to be some balance between, you know, the economy and so forth. But in my experience, dead and sick people tend not to consume many services and don't tend to go to work. And it just strikes me that this isn't the way to go. And even if you were going to do that, even if you said, okay, look, the economy is belly up, we have to do this, why then tell people, oh, you know, it's no longer a requirement to wear masks or keep 2 meters away? Wouldn't you want to at least have that in place whilst you were opening everything up?
All right. Well, before we stray too far from from our brief, which is to talk technology, enough of the politics and the medical side. When are we likely to see the app, the technology, fixed in the way that the government have asked it to be done?
Yeah, well, they haven't said exactly, but yeah, I do understand that these changes are easy to make, because it's basically a matter of tweaking the parameters and it will be updated, so people won't have to re-download the app. The app will just adjust its own behavior. So I would imagine it will be, I mean, it seems to me that these changes are to deal with, if they don't change it and we open up in the way that's currently planned on the 19th, the number of notifications will skyrocket because the number of contacts will skyrocket. And therefore, I would imagine it should be in place by the 19th.
Right. OK, coming up in just a moment, Fevzi, I'm going to be asking you for your gadget of the week. You know, we're talking technology at the moment, and it's amazing what you find out about gadget detectives. According to his Twitter feed, Fevzi, you have been asking Alexa what kind of dog you are?
Yes. Well, and it asks you questions about yourself, and then based on the answers, it I forget what I was. I think I might have been, was I a Labrador or a Golden Retriever? Oh, I was definitely a cute dog. I wasn't a pit bull or something.
Based on what answers to what questions?
I can't remember now, but it was, why don't you give it a go? I've actually...
Because I have a life, Fevzi, that's
what
why.
What are you saying, Paul? I mean, look, it's my job description not to have a life, so don't come at me with that, please. Look, I would have tested it now for you, but I've switched... She who must be obeyed off, because sometimes she has a habit of, you know, trying to edge in on the contribution. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not splitting my fee with her. So, you know, I've turned her off basically.
Fee?
So.
Fee? What?
What's? Oops, sorry. Well, okay. I mean, what I pay the BBC in order to be able to do this.
Ah, right. Okay.
So.
I'm not going to say thank you. I'll say fetch at the end of this conversation, I think. Golden lap. There you go. No heavy breathing. Thank you very much. Fevzi, let's move on to your gadget of the week now. And it's a keyboard. Why is this so special?
Okay, so we spend a lot of time using keyboards, notwithstanding, you know, voice input and so forth. Keyboards are still the main way we interact with our computers, be they Macs or PCs. Also, even with tablets and smartphones, we're tapping on computers. And this is a keyboard. It's a full-size computer keyboard with a numeric keypad at the side. It's called the Logitech MX Keys. That's as M as in mother, X as in X-ray. And Logitech have, in the last few years, I feel they've sort of carved out a niche of being, I think, arguably the producer of the highest quality keyboards and accessories for computers and tablets. And this one, for example, when I use a Mac, I use this one in preference To the one that comes with the Mac. So I actually think it's a higher quality keyboard than even what Apple have produced. So these are not cheap. So to give you an idea, this keyboard, I'll get the bad news out of the way first. This keyboard has got a list price of £100. I saw it on a well-known website named after a South American river this morning, and I noticed it was on special at sort of £79, I think it was, which when I checked it, is the lowest price it's been, with the exception of one day in January. But by the way, there's a website called camelcamelcamel.com. And if you drop, I'll say, Amazon links into it, so if you go to a product on the Amazon website, you copy the link, you paste it into camelcamelcamel.com, and it gives you the history of the price of that item over time. Since it's been sold,
so you can tell if it's a genuine offer or not.
Exactly, because sometimes you know what happens, that they put up the price, they or a third party reseller puts up the price, bring it down to a level which is higher than it was yesterday, and still say it's on offer. So that's not great. So this is called the Logitech MX Keys, and it's an advanced illuminated wireless keyboard. So why illuminated? Well, first of all, it's backlit keyboard. The keys are backlit, so when you are working in a room where the lights are dimming, you know, it's getting dark, or even in complete darkness, the keys have individual backlights. Now, what's really clever is there's a sensor in the keyboard, so as your hand approaches the keys, it detects your hand before you've even touched the keyboard, and the keyboard lights up. Which took me a long time just to stop playing with that. I was like reaching out, coming away, reaching out.
Why would you want that, though?
Well, I tell you one of the reasons why is, one, you don't want lights on all the time. They can be, you know, a bit harsh on the eyes if you're in a dim room. But also because this is a wireless keyboard, which means it's got a built-in rechargeable battery. Now, if the lights were on all the time, the battery would deplete very quickly and you'd have to recharge it far more frequently. But on the other hand, you don't want to have a switch or something, and also, you know, you don't want to have to press a key before you can see the keyboard, because you don't know what key you're pressing if it's genuinely, you know, not very bright in there or even dark. So this facility is great. It also has an ambient light sensor, which means that it works out how dark the room is and therefore how much light is required to you know, show the keys. So it connects wirelessly. You can either use a form of Bluetooth called Bluetooth Low Energy. Bluetooth is a wireless technology that we use instead of connecting via wires. Or they've got a little USB dongle, a little device that can plug into the back of, or the front indeed, of your computer. And that's kind of a nice thing, because you've got the choice. Some computers either don't have Bluetooth, or the Bluetooth on them is poor. Some Apple Macintosh users, for example, report that their Mac Minis have got really poor Bluetooth and their wireless keyboards don't work. Well, this is good, because the little transceiver, the receiver and transmitter, is outside the machine, so it's not shielded by the metal box of the computer. So that's a good thing. The other nice trick that this does is it can control up to three different machines. And not all of us will have three computers, but this thing works with not only Macs and Windows PCs, it works with Linux, it works with iPads, iPhones, Android phones, and Android tablets. So, if let's say you've got a tablet on your desk beside you, then you can just switch between them and use the same keyboard. And if you've got one of their mice as well, you can use the same keyboard and mouse combination on up to three different devices, be they computers or tablets or smartphones. And it's actually a joy to move away from a touchscreen on a tablet or a phone onto a proper keyboard. The quality of the keyboard is great. It's got a metal plate, so it's very rigid, it's heavy, durable, and yet the keys are quite low travel. It's not a big clacky keyboard. It's quite relatively quiet. The shape of the keys is sort of spherically dished, so they match, you know, the shape of your fingertip as it touches. It's a really nice experience, and if you person who spends a while at a keyboard, I think that's a good thing. There is another trick it can do, which is they've got this technology called Flow, whereas if you've got this keyboard and one of their compatible mice as well, you can actually drag your mouse across from one screen onto the next screen of the next device, on and even onto a third one. And you can drag a file across from one computer to another using the mouse, you know, just by picking it up on one screen and dragging it off the screen onto the other one. And as you then move your mouse over the screen of the second computer, let's say, the keyboard then means that anything you type will then be typed into the second computer, automatically switches. Do you follow me?
So, yes, I do. So it intuitively picks up which computer you're on.
Yeah, Yeah, it does. Oh. And that can be from your Windows PC to your iPad off to your Apple Mac. You can drag stuff across, you know, between these three. It's just very, very clever. Yeah, I mean, Apple are actually starting to build that functionality into their operating system, but Windows users don't have that as part of Windows. So I think it's very clever. So okay. I looked it up. The average, so this price on this is $99.99. The average price for it is about £93 over time, currently $79.99, which although is, I concede, is not cheap and not everyone will want to spend that money. But, it's something that is going to last you. I mean, I look at this thing here and I just think this is going to outlast me. This will be here after I've gone because it's just rigid and solid and well made, not cheap and plasticky. So I personally think there's things worth, you know, paying for, and it's a quality of life thing.
Okay. Well, we have to wind up, Fizzy. I just wanted to get your rating.
Can I just say 4.5 stars out of 5? Yeah. So that's pretty much the highest that I give for anything. So
excellent. Fizzy, as always, a pleasure. Bill will be back with you next Saturday. Have a good week.
Cheers.